Hello everyone, welcome to the Shake Up the World podcast. Today we have a very important guest, St. Ludovic Peters from Tanzania. So Ludovic hails from Tanzania, which is it's in the Eastern African region, and has been working closely with people, children from having albino. So it's a situation there that people who have white skin, also known as albinos, are hunted like animals for their body parts, widely distributed in the black market, supposedly for the magical and superstitious properties. Ludovic, being the founder and CEO of SLIOC, is aiming to provide access to education and shelter for these children in Tanzania. So more on this later through this episode. So yeah, let's get started right away. Yeah, so Ludovico, I mean, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and also this beautiful country which you are from, Tanzania? So I'm pretty sure most of them or the audience who is listening to this episode might not be familiar with the landscape and the people there. So if you could start with that.
Sure. Thank you so much, Resh, and I'm very much glad to be the host in this particular program. My name is Ludovic Peters. I'm 50 years of age, Tanzanian. I'm a teacher by profession, and I've taught for several years in different schools in this country. And basically, if you would like to speak about the English teachers in this country, Ludovic's name is also among them. So I've been teaching in different schools. Right now, I'm no longer an active teacher. I retired from teaching. And what I do, I just help the junior teachers, train them, equip them with more skills, empower them with more knowledge, all sorts of the things. Also, in some occasions, I work with the Institute of Curriculum Development of Tanzania, because from time to time, we look at the curriculum which is provided, whether it's valid or not valid, is it useful or not useful? Is it relevant or not relevant? So from time to time, I also work on that project as well. So as I said, I'm no longer an active teacher, but right now I run my own charity, which is called St. Ludovic Institute of Charity. Basically, it started in 2016. What does it do? The St. Ludovic Institute of Charity is an activist-based organization, SLIOC, which stands for St. Ludovic Institute of Charity. I'm the founder and the CEO. And the SLIOC is found in the Lake Zone part of Tanzania. It is activist-based organization which fights for the rights and interests of people with albinism, basically the children with albinism whose lives are in danger in these parts, because there is a belief which says that once you have albino body parts, you become rich, you prosper, you become successful. So for this matter, the albinos in most cases are hunted like wild animals. So my SLIOC is trying its best to educate the society, to educate the people, to get rid of these fetish ideas that it's not true. Albinos are normal and ordinary people like any other. It is the only slight skin disorder which makes them a little bit different. But generally, the albinos are normal and ordinary people. So SLIOC is trying its best to educate the society about this. At the same time, we try to empower the albinos so that the children, because I've already said that my interest is the children. So we have to empower the parents of the children with albinism. We try to speak to them. We access them with the education. We access them with the medical facilities. And we try also to expose, to let them get rid of the fear, thinking that they are discriminated, they are outcasted. We want them to feel that they are also normal people. Let them be free. This is a free country. And so they have the right also to share the freedom and the fruits of independence like any other. So this is what basically Siliyok is doing.
Yeah, Ludovico, last time I spoke to you, when you mentioned about the work, especially with the albino children, it really struck me as odd in a sense that even now we have this racial segregation happening and possible witch hunt doctors who are recommending to have these albino children taken away, right? Abducted and kidnapped and their body parts being sold on the market, which is, I found it really difficult to even digest. And it's really commendable the work which you're doing. And I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. But let's try to see, I mean, I would like to also know more about this aspect of why is this the case that the albino children are being kidnapped and abducted for their parts. What is the reason behind this and how did this even start and come into existence, right? I find this really outrageous in a sense.
Sure, this is quite odd. This is quite odd. And once you hear about it, you cannot even believe that it is existing in this part of the world. Actually, it started with the witch doctors. The witch doctors are the ones who started it, claiming that once they get the albino body parts mixing with some charms, then the charm can make the holder of the charm to become successful. Actually, it started with the people who works people work in the mines, those who go into the mines, those who go for fishing, all sorts of the things. So these are the ones who started, but later it spread even to the politicians, even to normal ordinary businessmen. They became to think that once they happen to possess such kind of a charm, then it could enable them to become rich. Actually, there is no any scientific relationship or connection which proves that once you have the albino body part mixing with a kind of a local medicine can enable someone to prosper. There is no any scientific.
This is a really outrageous claim. And
yes. Yes, yes.
More there of a superstitious belief.
Yes,
right?
Superstition. Yes, superstition. Yeah.
So, I have a question in this regard. Albinos are quite common in Tanzania, if I'm not wrong, right? That's what you're mentioning. But is this whole aspect of albino-based manslaughter common in other countries as well in Africa?
Yes, there is a problem of the same character in Malawi, a neighboring country.
Malawi is a neighboring country, right? Yeah.
Yes, Malawi is a neighboring country. Mm-hmm. Also, there is this problem in Burundi, also in Democratic Republic of Congo. They have this problem as well. But it's not a very, very common in other countries. I once read it somewhere, there was a kind of a case whereby an albino child was abducted in another African country. I don't remember very well, but probably Nigeria, because Nigeria also is believed to be full of superstition. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening, Ludovico. I have a question in this regard. So how much is traditional medicine or say these kind of witchcrafts, even now, how is it so relevant even when there are so much of allopathic medicines available, or is there not much penetration in this regard, or people still follow such conventional or witchcraft based medication for most of their general purposes?
Or the problem, people have been fooled, and you know, there are some people in this world who think that the best way to succeed, to prosper, is to use shortcuts. For example, there are so many young men here in Africa, here in Tanzania as well, who believe that if they join the cult groups like Freemasons, like Illuminati, they believe that they They will become rich and they will prosper. And whenever they see someone has prospered, probably he worked hard and harvested and sold the products, they believe that he became rich because of being associated with some sort of supernatural power. So the idea or issue of supernatural power is very intense here in Africa. You find people believe in God, people go to the mosques, people go to churches, but they are the very people who at the same time, they believe in fetish ideas. So the issue of supernatural power is very, very strong in most parts of Africa. And actually, we sometimes call it, this is, it is African technology. This is called African technology. So you cannot separate it with human people, because people believe that in order to prosper, in order to succeed, there are so many people who believe that they need a charm, they need to visit a witch doctor, a herbalist, they need to be fortified. Suppose one would like to win the election, suppose one would like to have a high position, so this particular person must visit a powerful native doctor to be fortified. For example, here in Africa, we have two countries which are very, very famous in supernatural power: Nigeria and South Africa. They are very, very, very good at witchcraft. Very, very good.
More of superstitious beliefs.
Yes.
All these happen quite prominently in these countries, right?
Yes. Yeah. Once you go to Nigeria, once you go to South Africa, but also in West Africa, if you ask or you trace the history of Didier Drogba, the famous former Chelsea player.
Yes, the Chelsea player, right?
Yes.
I've heard about him for sure.
Yes, yeah. So if you trace his history, Didier Drogba comes from a very powerful clan which is full of witchcraft. So that is that's why I'm telling you, witchcraft, this is natural power with all sorts of the things, they are very common here in Africa.
And in a sense, it is preferred over conventional medicine in most cases, right? Have the tradition, the allopathic medicines, right? The normal medicines which you get, and those are not so much preferred in these places because of the superstitious beliefs. That's what you're saying?
Well, we have the traditional herbalists who are allowed even by the governments. We have them because here in Africa, we believe that we are surrounded by different medicine. You can go to hospital. We have diseases which are treated in the hospital, but there are diseases which cannot be cured there. So once someone has gone to hospital, has been diagnosed negative, then he decides to go to a native doctor, just a traditional herbalist, and the traditional herbalist can heal him. Now, there is two different issues. We have traditional herbalists who do not harm. They just cure. But we have these native doctors who at the same time can cure and at the same time cause harm as well. So that's why it is something very difficult to put it into broad, because it is something which is done secretly. So that's why no one can prove that it is true. If you kill an albino, you mix medicine, then you become rich. Believe that. And that's why the albinos are in perpetual fear all the time, because they know that once they are spotted, let's say at the middle of the night, they can get killed easily.
So do you mean that the albino children as well, or the adults, they don't go outside as much as the others? And do they even involve in, say, common gatherings or even taking part in school?
Well, in most cases, these people target children. They are their main target. Although, when it comes to broad sense of this issue, any albino, whether child or adult, is targeted. But in most cases, they target children because they are still virgin, still pure. They are chastity. So they think that they are very, very pure. They are not molested. So they think that they are good for offering some sort of their, probably they make some sort of a sacrifice. So in most cases, children. But generally, in a albino is under threat any moment, because whether it's a woman albino, a man albino, he's in trouble. Yeah.
So Ludovico, I was just thinking about your own self. So you were in this field of education, you were working as an English teacher, right? And you made this move towards working on this full time for this course. I'm just trying to really understand from your point of view, what went through, or like the personal experiences you faced. Did you happen to see such instance happening nearby in your locality, or any such event that triggered or pushed you towards setting up this organization?
Well, even if you go through my website, it is also, it says about this, that why I was inspired to set up this organization. Actually, in Tanzania, the killing of albinos is so rampant in this area where I am. It's not very common in other parts. So that's why I decided also to concentrate with this area. And I have witnessed myself several cases, several issues. I have been visiting several villages where you find a child has been abducted, and after a few days you find the child killed, the child has been hacked to death. So I decided to do this because this is the common area where you see this kind of incidents happening. And we have so many native doctors around this area. And even when I started this SLIOC, there were some people who also tried to ask me, why do you set up this kind of organization talking about this issue, which is not supposed to be discussed in public? But I said, I'm trying to talk to people. I'm trying to tell the people. I'm trying to speak about it. And generally, when I started it, I faced so many opposition, so many challenges from my fellow countrymen, even from my friends. We are not happy with it. But when I shared the idea with my friends, mostly in Europe, in other parts of the world, they were very shocked, first of all, to hear about it, because this is not very usual, not very common to hear that someone can take someone's life in order to succeed. But later on, people came to understand that there is this kind of a problem. So it's something very strange. It sounds very strange, and unfortunately, it is very difficult to convince the people to believe that, let them stop this and let them continue working hard, and let's say going to church, going to mosques, and depending on God. It becomes very, very complicated, because there is a very big problem with education. Very few people go to attend education, go to get education, to be exposed. Unasemaje? Hatuhitaji. Sorry, someone was knocking here. So probably you make it. Yeah,
you that's not a problem. I'm just lost in a lot of thoughts. This is completely new for me in a sense, and I've never heard of it. I mean, it is only through you that I've come to know this, and I've been digging deeper and reading more about this specific front of racism and discrimination against the people with albino. So what do the common people, is there some form of racial segregation against the albinos in a sense?
Sure.
Or yeah. There is?
Yes, there is.
And even in fact of starting this organization, there is not much of public support for this cause, even though it sounds to be very outrageous. How are the local people, the common folk, receiving such a cause? I mean, it seems to be quite reasonable that this is something supporting the albinos, right? So how do the public accept, or is it still something very much down the line in a couple of years, or will it take more time for them to adjust?
Well, what I can say is that, you know, the people here are very good at talking, very good at speaking, saying something. If you ask people, let's say you meet them in a meeting, how do you take this issue of the killing of albinos? People will complain. Everyone will say, this is a bad act. This is barbarism. This is the highest degree of barbarism. Why should one kill another person in order to become rich? So if you talk to people, you ask their views. Suppose today you decided to visit Tanzania and come to this area and speak to the people, everyone will tell you, we are not happy. Everyone will say, we are condemning it. This is a very, very, this is atrocity. This is not fair. Everyone is saying that. But secretly, just behind the scene, they are the very ones who are in support of it, because they become rich, become they prosper, because they succeed, because they get wealthy, because out of this. So it is, if you ask for the opinion members of public opinions about this act, you will have everyone saying this is very bad and we should try our best to make an end. And if right now, if you come to Tanzania and out of the novel to have a culprits, well, this is what you will hear. So it will take time for you to understand that the situation is still there, because the albinos sometimes disappear mysteriously.
So you mean to say that publicly, when people are gathering, or if it is a general opinion which they have to share, they would generally say that, yes, this is something which we need to condemn. But secretly, they are behind closed doors, they are doing all these activities for the fact that they might possibly get rich by involving in such a trade.
Yes.
It's really disgusting.
That's what I was talking about. Yes, you're very right. That in public, everyone is against it. But secretly, they are in support of it because they want to become rich. No, and when we talk about it, not necessarily that one should involve himself or herself in the killing of albinos, all sorts of things. But because I've already told you, witchcraft is an African technology. It is there. Some people befuddled, their minds are intoxicated with the witchcraft. So they believe that the most simple for them see. So you go to school, you find the children with charms. If you go even to the church, even to the mosques, you find the people with charms. So it is something common. Even sometimes you can find even the priests or these people of God. They say this and this, but at the same time, because we understand according to our culture, that's what they say, according to our culture, this is a tradition. And we are Africans. So you can find even them, they try to condemn, they can say, you have to abandon your old ways of life, of believing in idols. Now you need to believe in one supreme God. But themselves also, if you go straight, you will find they have got charms to support them. You see? So it is something which is a very, very difficult issue, actually. A very difficult issue. It's not a simple issue.
So do you think, in terms of, say, a behavior change or the change in the mindset of the people in general for the albinos and the people affected by the albinism, what do you think would be a right approach towards bringing about the change where they are more inclusive and accepted in the community?
Because the most important thing is to educate the people to understand about albinism, the concept of albinism. People should understand that how one becomes an albino. So people need to understand that, because when we talk about the treatment on albinos in this country, not only it ends with the threat of getting killed, but also segregation. There is segregation, lots of segregation. For example, in most marriages, disintegrate when a woman gives birth to a child with albinism, so the marriage might dissolve. And in some families with the albino children, the children are killed. The mother or the family is outcasted. You see, so it is something which it needs a very long strategy to explain to people to understand about albinism in its totality. People need to know what is albinism, and there is no very big difference between a person with albinism and a normal ordinary person. The only slight difference is the skin
it's
disorder.
Just the absence and of a particular pigment, right? If I'm not wrong,
yes.
That's about it. But
yes.
why are the families outcasting the albinos? For what reason? I mean, it cannot be possible that it is just a superstition, right?
That's why. But also they think once you have an albino, automatically that brings a bad omen. That is a bad omen. Yeah, that is going, and probably it has been caused by a certain curse. There is a curse in that particular family, and automatically they say that is an abomination. So someone can be banished from the village because of having a child with albinism.
Ludovico, so in this context, right, how do the children get their education? How do the albino children taking into account all the segregation, profiling, and being considered as outcasts, is there any way forward for them to get the right education and move forward in the communities? What do you think?
Yes, they get education, but in a very crude circumstances.
Are they separated from the community while getting education, or are they being included with others as well?
Well, once you create a school and you bring only albino children, automatically the government is going to point a finger at you, because automatically now they call it, that is the segregation. So albino children are supposed to be mingled together with normal, ordinary children. But because the albino children, or generally a person with albinism, they have got poor eyesight. They don't see very well. And they are normally affected with the direct sun rays. So to them is very difficult. For example, if you happen to visit schools, they give them a special privilege of sitting near or close to the blackboard, something like that. But in some schools, it is different. It is difficult because probably the number of the children, you know, most of the government schools here have got a very big number of children. So it is difficult also to consider these children with the special cases. So it becomes difficult. But how the albino children get education? Yes, we are trying. Like SLIOC, this is what it's doing. We are trying. What I'm doing, normally I go to the villages where the albinos are, and I advise them that it is important for their children to get education. So once they understand, then I negotiate their way for the children to be enrolled in primary schools where they mix with the normal children as well. And basically, for example, where I am, in this area where I am, what I do, I am linked with a school which houses and accommodates ordinary normal children and at the same time children with special needs. So normally whenever I get a child, an albino, and the parents have agreed, we have common understanding, then I link the child with the school. So the child comes to the school, and because of the circumstances, these children at that school are not allowed to wander outside the school. They are inside the school all the time. They don't go outside.
So there is an element of trust in it, right? So they have to trust the fact that the school is taking care of them. And
yes,
also making sure that there is not any form of kidnapping or abduction, which might also happen, especially with what's going around outside, right?
Yes, because the school is guarded 24 hours by members of police.
So there is a need, there is a specific or special attention to be given to these schools to make sure that they are also having the right education, right, with others as well.
Well, I cannot say that there is a kind of different education. The education is almost the same, but the only difference is the treatment. Mm-hmm. Because teachers who teach in that school are trained teachers to deal with children with disability, children with special needs. So they consider and give priority, give some sort of privilege to understand that children with albinism have got so many problems. They've got poor eyesight. Sometimes even hearing, they have hearing impairment. Sometimes they don't hear very well. So the teachers do consider all these facts and factors to understand that the children adopt the situation and gets what they deserve to be given. But otherwise, it is difficult to take these albino children and take them to the schools where there is no such kind of service, such kind of treatment. If you just enroll them to other just normal schools, the children will suffer. They get difficult approach to manage to live together with the other children there. And sometimes even the teachers, because they are not trained. So we need to take the albino children to the special schools, which have special teachers who are trained to deal with such kind of circumstances. Yeah.
So coming back to this topic, you were mentioning, I had read some of your slides which you had shared. So you had also mentioned that there is a specific screening process which you normally do. To make sure that the volunteers, donors, or even the workers are somehow screened and vetted so that there is not any form of attack or kidnapping from happening. So how do you really ensure this vetting process to take place?
I cannot say that I'm 100% sure with the vetting, but basically, because probably this is something I didn't say previously when I was introducing myself. Actually, before I became a teacher, I aspired to become a priest. I wanted to serve God as the priest in the Roman Catholic Church. So I have faith. Normally, I take faith as my first and foremost priority. So in whichever I do, in most cases here, I trust even the people whom I assign a certain piece of work to do this, do that, even we have volunteers coming. I have faith, but the most important thing, which actually it was a lesson I learned from the previous work of the previous area I worked before coming to set up this SLIOC. I learned a certain lesson that there were some sort of mischief, that there are some people who were working there and were receiving funds, and the funds were being misappropriately used, and there was misallocation of funds, and also there was some sort of dubious deals which were going on there. So since I learned that lesson from there, and now I have this sleok, I am very much careful with what I do. I try my best to look at the people whom I work with. I also try to see the trend of information which is disseminated. I look at the response. I look at the parents with albinos children, and I look at the welfare of the children. And from time to time, I visit to learn what is new with regard to the lifestyle, what is happening there. So I normally go to that school and learn if there is anything new, if there is a change, if there is some sort of which is highly demanded. So from time to time, I learn something like that. So I cannot say that I'm 100% sure with the vetting, because when you deal with person, you deal with people, sometimes it's very, very difficult to know the integrity and the credibility of someone. It's very difficult because these are things which are very, very personal.
Yeah, definitely. I think there is always an element of trust while connecting with people and relying on them for certain tasks and responsibilities, right? Now, I just want to touch upon a bit more of broader topics. So, in your experience working in this front, working with such critical and vulnerable communities as such, are there any lessons which you have learned or about human nature, or any stories which you would like to share in this sense for better understanding?
Oh, well, as I said, that when I launched SLIOC, I met with the challenges, with the opposition from the different people. But I can also say that I have got the opportunity to go around and learned so many issues which actually, had I not formed this SLIOC, I would have not known them. But through SLIOC, I've learned. I think in one of the documents I sent to you, I made a research and I went to an island. Actually, is the biggest island in this country. And that island is popularly known for witchcraft. So if you are told to go to that island, you need to be very, very careful, because the island is popularly known for witchcraft. But I went there and met the people, stayed there.
You could have potentially risked yourself as well, right? So you might not.
Of course, this was a very, very great. Yeah, this was a very great risk, but I dared to go there because that is the place with the highest number of albinos in this country. So that was under no circumstance I had to go there, because I work with albinos and I needed to go and see by myself there. But it was a very great risk going to that place, because the place is popularly known. Everybody in this country knows about the island, and unfortunately there is no way out to reach the island, but you have to use water, and you spend almost 6 hours. You are just crossing the big Lake Victoria. And I was a little bit afraid of spending 6 hours crossing the lake from where I am going to the island. But I kept praying all the way along, and unfortunately I reached there. And I tried to behave as an innocent as possible. I tried to behave as a saint. I tried to behave as a child, and tried to show the highest degree of obedience to everyone whom I met there. And through that way, my research was successful. I think I sent it to you. You can read all the information which I gathered there.
Yes, I will also share this across to the audience as well, so that they could.
Yes. That's really wonderful. So I stayed there for some time. And since the first time, actually now I've been going there several times, and I'm not even now afraid of going there. And I even enjoy the boat ride in the water, the river, the big lake. So it's not now a big issue, but at first this was something very, very, very peculiar and very, very horrifying, going to meet the people who are popularly known for witchcraft. But I managed to go there. But other things, the politicians, for example, in some cases here and there, whenever they see a kind of an organization like mine, they take it as a threat to them because it might expose them, because most of the politicians are not straightforward. Normally, what do they say?
Lesser support from the government in this regard? Is there resistance from their side as well?
The government, you know, when you talk of the government, you talk automatically, you talk of the politicians. So the government is trying its best. And the government is trying to support whichever movement which is done to ensure that the people with albinism are protected and safeguarded. So the government, there is a lot of support. If you ask for permission to go somewhere, they will accommodate you. If you'd like to have to host a meeting, they will allow you. So there is so much. Even if you would like to be protected or given security, if you think that your life is in danger, you can approach the government and can provide you with the security. But generally speaking, I was talking about the politicians. So most politicians, sometimes they take for granted that these kind of organization are there for threats. They think these are kind of a threat to them because they might be exposed. Because sometimes if you visit the local native doctors, sometimes they can even tell you a certain big shot was here to do this and this and this and this. So in one way or another, they are afraid. So I can say that I've enjoyed, because I've made lots of friends through this SLIOC. I've made so many friends actually from outside the African continent. I've got so many friends. There are so many people who support me morally, and some people donate. They donate funds. Some people donate materials, all sorts of the things. And there are some people who sometimes come in person. They come to Tanzania and come to see me. And you know, when you talk of Tanzania, automatically you attract somebody to come to learn about this beautiful country. And whenever they know that in Tanzania there is Ludovic, and what is Ludovic doing? So whenever they come to Tanzania, they also come to see me. And I'm sure that when COVID-19 is gone, I look forward to receiving so many people, including you, coming to Tanzania as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was also looking at how beautiful the landscape is with all the wild animals and lions and zebras and so on, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there is a lot of ecotourism as well in this area, right?
Sure. You know, I don't know, I can't even say about my country. Sometimes I ask myself also, why God gave us this special privilege? Because almost everything which one would like to see is found in Tanzania. Because in terms of natural resources, every kind of natural resource is found here. For example, if you talk about wildlife, any kind of animal you mention, you will find that animal here. Except, let's say, animals like kangaroo, also those who are found in Europe, you don't find them. But those who are found in tropical countries, every kind of animal is found here in Tanzania. But we also have very exciting nature, very exciting areas like the Ngorongoro crater. It is a kind of a deep hole which sank down around 2,000 feet deep. And down there, you find the animals, plenty of animals. This is something very strange. So we don't know why this is in Tanzania. Also,
it's like a local ecosystem of animals, which are very special in its way. The habitat is different and so on, right? Also, Kilimanjaro National Park is somewhere nearby, right?
Yes, Kilimanjaro, it's there, the highest mountain in Africa. We have Serengeti, and actually here where I am right now is not very far. If I wanted to go to Serengeti, it's almost a 4 hours drive. I reach Serengeti. So we have Serengeti, we have Ngorongoro, we have Mount Kilimanjaro, we have this big lakes. We have, when it comes to minerals, we have gold, we have copper, we have diamond, we have uranium, we have gas, we have nickel, we have mercury, we have tanzanite, which is not found elsewhere in the world. It's found only here, you see? So we have all sorts of minerals are found here. So we are blessed. We are blessed. It's a country which is very much favored by God.
That's a great way to describe your country, Ludovic. I was also thinking about this aspect. Let's say that these kids, right, if they are getting the education through some form, and in a sense they become employable and they look for opportunities, but then there is still the problem of racial segregation and discrimination and lack of much diversity in these workplaces, right? So how do they really fit into the workforce as well after they've become adults, and if they're looking for jobs or any sort of employment? What is the way forward for them in terms of employment?
You know, one thing which I made an experiment is I came to learn out that the albinos are very intelligent. Once they are empowered, once they get education, they can do very marvelous things. And fortunately, the present regime in the country has recognized how potential the albinos are. And for this matter, I think one of the permanent secretaries, I think in the Ministry of Labor, is an albino. That is to show that the president has identified, has seen how potential these people are. So in workforce, the albinos are given opportunity, they are given chances, because if you are qualified, you are learned. But the problem is for them to penetrate and to become successful. But when you ask them later on, how far have they succeeded, what have they done, or what went through their lives, they will tell you so many evils, so many mistreatment they received, all sorts of the things. So at last, and slowly, probably what I can say, slowly, because of activists, like my charity, because of the work which is done by activists to educate the people to accept the albinos, so at slowly that the albinos are recognized, and they are also given chance, they are given the opportunity to express themselves, and they can be employed here and there. And the people now start to realize that the albinos are normal people. And there are some families, at least you can visit, there are some families can at least understand that an albino is just an ordinary normal person. Though it is in the interior of this party, is still a very, very difficult issue to talk about an albinism, a person with albinism. It's a very, very difficult. They regard that is a curse. They call that is a kind of a demon. They think an albino is a demon, not a normal person.
Would they be, in a sense, educated to change their whole mindset or their perception of albinos? Or is there your organization involved in such fronts as well?
Well, you know, I remember a few years ago, there was a famous BBC broadcaster. I think she has already left BBC. She came to Tanzania, made intensive research on this plight of the albinos, and in collaboration with a world organization called Under the Same Sun, which is, I think, formed by somebody from Canada who is also an albino. So Under the Same Sun came to Tanzania.
There was a BBC broadcast, and it was a documentary on the specific plight of the albinos in Tanzania. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah, it was that. So the lady and in collaboration with the under the same sun, they tried their best to talk about it and exposed, actually. They were the ones to start exposing the plight of the people with albinism, that they were killed, there was this. And from there, other organizations also came doing the same thing, starting propagating for the albinos. For example, in the research I made in the Ukerewe Island, I was in collaboration with another organization called Standing Voice. I think it has its headquarters in Netherlands, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. So there are so many organizations, world or international organizations, coming to Tanzania to find a way to talk about this. But if you ask me as Ludovic, I think the issue of albinos needs to be addressed in a very broad perspective. And that's why, if you ask me what actually is my intention, my ambition now with regard to my mission, with me, I would like to have a radio station and a TV station as well. Because to reach people, have one TV station and radio station as well, but unfortunately the station does not talk much about the plight of the albinos. So with me, I was thinking that if I happen to get people to support me financially, one of my projects, because this is just one of my projects, I have almost 4 or 5. If you read in my website, you will see all what are our goals, what are our targets right now. But one of the issue which I'm trying to think about is to have a media. If we have a media, it's going to be a very powerful weapon to influence people, to change the mindset of the people, to let people understand in detail about albinism, what is albinism, and to accept albinism, because it's not a sin, it's not a curse, it's not an abomination, is something very normal. So with me, I think if we get such kind of a platform, we use the media, this could work much better rather than so far the strategies, because I can share it with you that, for example, some of the organizations which came to Tanzania or have been formed under the name of fighting for the rights of the albinos, at the end of the day, they became the victim of circumstances. They became corrupted. Most of them were corrupt. And I hear there was a kind of a story. I heard even the TAS is Tanzania Albino Society. Now I hear TAS is also corrupt. It is led by albinos, and they are given lots of funds, but because they are corrupt, now they think of themselves in collaboration with some people, you see? So it is something which it's the issue of albinos is something very broad. It needs to be addressed extensively. It's not just to be done by some few people. And there are groups of people come forward. They say, we are here to protect and to look at the to interests of the albinos. But at the end of the day, they take this as a project. They receive funds, they get money, they start building houses, buying automobiles, all sorts of the things. Now, that is a problem.
Yeah, ultimately, if any organization which is basically comprised of people, right, and people can act in devious ways and use the money which they get for their own benefit. So that's also a point which has to be taken into account, right? Yes. But on the whole, Ludovic, deeply appreciate your work and your sincerity towards this cause and taking a lot of risks in this journey as well, going to these even islands which are completely like going for such risky endeavors to go there and rescue the children.
Yes.
I find this as a big inspiration, not just for me, but for all of them who are listening to this show. Just to conclude this show, I would like to know, I mean, you might also be familiar with what's happening in US with all the protests against, I mean, with what happened with George Floyd and the subsequent protests against racial injustice and so on, right? So cool. I see that racial injustice is something which is not just in Tanzania, but it's somewhere, even in US for that matter, we see it happening. But over there, it's a bit different where we see segregation of the black people and all these problems which are happening as a result of that. So do you have any key takeaway message from your own learnings towards such instances in general?
Sure. I see. I'm also very much saddened with what happened to the late George Floyd. Actually, I was very, very much disappointed. Actually, I did not even watch that video of that cruel man kneeling on George's body. I didn't even watch to the end of it. I was very, very disappointed, very much discouraged. And I could not imagine a developed country like US could still embrace up to this moment the issue of racial segregation. And I'm very much disappointed by a big nation like US up to this moment, if they have not come to realize that the blacks have contributed a lot towards the economy of US. Because if we go back to the transatlantic slave trade, those blacks who are there now in the US actually came from Africa. So they went to the US as slaves, and eventually some survived, some died. Now those who survived, these are their descendants. They are up to this moment, they are there. So the blacks have contributed a lot towards America. So it surprises me to find why up to this moment blacks are still being discriminated that way. And I don't know, because there was a kind of a similar case in some few years ago, the apartheid in South Africa. We had this. It was also a racial segregation, but thanks God, through the efforts of the late Nelson Mandela and some other guys, some dignitaries, they solved it in one way or another. I don't think now it's a big issue in South Africa. Probably now it is just this xenophobia. But generally, I don't think if there is now a serious issue between the blacks and whites in South Africa. So generally, people need to understand that whether I'm black, whether I'm white, whether I'm yellow, whether I'm green, but I still remain a man. And with me as a religious, we refer to the Bibles, we refer to the holy books, that we have been created by God, and we are told that we have God's image. So we carry the image of God. This means everyone has to see the image of God in someone else. You see the image of God in Ludovic, and I see the image of God in you. So we need to regard each other. We need to love each other. We need to have affection among ourselves, because we are one. So why should we discriminate each other? Why should we mistreat each other? So I don't think if this is something good, and actually it surprises me that as far as the level of science and technology has been attained, has been reached, we still have some people in this world with the racial discrimination ideas. This is quite disappointing.
True. I think better words have not been said. It's really nice the way you have summarized it. In fact, yeah, it's quite surprising that even though we have advanced so much in terms of science and technology and being more rational in that regard, we still have such differences of color and gender and biases in a lot of places. So, I guess we can conclude on this note, Ludovic.
Sure.
Once again, thanks a lot for joining this show. And if you'd like to share one final message to the people, or if there's any way in which they could reach out to you, your organization, that would be great as well, if you could.
Yeah, thank you so much, Fresh, and I'm very happy to welcome me, to invite
My
me
pleasure
to
as well, Ludovic.
Yeah, thank you so much, and probably if there is anybody who would like to get in touch with me, I think you have my email address, you have the link to my website, you can display it to them, and may I take this opportunity also to invite people to come to Tanzania. Tanzania is a beautiful country, because normally I talk about my country and I feel proud of being Tanzania, and I feel being proudly born in Tanzania. So may I take the opportunity to invite everybody, take the time instead of going to other parts of the world where you just look at all the buildings. Yesterday I was going through a certain website and I saw people spending lots of money going to a certain country. I would like not to mention it here, but people go there just to look at the old and ancient buildings. So why don't you come to Tanzania where you can see animals? You see live animals here instead of going to see tall buildings. You see to see they go to see trees, all sorts of things. So I'm so much happy for taking part in this program. And also I welcome everybody to come to Tanzania to see the animals, to see how beautiful this country is, and at the same time to see what I'm doing, to see the projects with the albinos. Thank you so much, my brother.